Sunday afternoon, Shar HaBitachon, ladies here. Shir number 12, June 21st, 4 Tammuz. Shir number 17. No, that doesn't sound right. Shir number 12. You know something? I'm not sure which shir this is, but it's Sunday, June 21st, Tammuz 4.
We're in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is teaching us how to develop Bitachon. Perek Daled then teaches us how to apply the principles of Perek Gimel in real life situations. Perek Gimel says that to develop Bitachon, you have to think, you have to be convinced, you have to have clarity and be convinced, and it has to be clear in your head, five things. You have to work on these five things. And if we don't work on them, we won't develop the bitachon that the Chavrus Lavos wants us to have. It means it might take time. Maybe it's something. It's just thinking. It's Chavrus Lavos. You have to ask yourself, am I really holding these five things? And the answer is probably that I'm holding by all of them, but only to a degree, maybe a small degree, and gets better if you work on it. And you think about it more, and you have any questions, you ask questions, and you have to develop, until you develop clarity. If you have total clarity in all the things, then you're a tremendously big Baal's Bitachon. We're up to number four. The first one was, of course, to know that the seven things of Perek Beis are true about Hashem. Number two was that Hashem knows what we're thinking, and He knows our motivations, and He knows everything inside of us, subconscious, unconscious, deep issues that we may be buried. He knows it, so He knows if we're sincere, He knows if we're paying lip service to it, He knows our motivations, etc. When you realize that, that's not really part of Bitachon. It really is almost like saying, if you don't develop that, then you will never develop Bitachon, because you'll always be sidetracked or fooled. Number three is that Hashem is not in the bullpen, and there's no one else in the bullpen. There's no one else but Hashem. And again, you can't pay lip service to it. The doctor is only a shliach. So then you have to ask yourself, would another shliach? This has to do with hishtadlus, which we didn't learn yet, really. But once you're doing the proper hishtadlus, just like Chavrus Lavos will say in Perek Daled, that once you're doing your hishtadlus to earn a parnosa in which you make ends meet for your needs, and anything above that, there's no heter for hishtadlus. There's no point in it. You know what's worse than there's no heter? There's no point. You're wasting your time, you're spinning your wheels, you're going to have as much money as you're going to have, and that's it. We only do things to meet the bar of Hishtadlus. Now, in different people's worlds and in their minds, they don't feel that they did enough Hishtadlus. That's a subjective issue, and it's not clear. Not, the line's never clear. It's not like a kazayas of matzah, or a revius of yayin, or a shaveh pruta. It's not like that. We don't have these shurim in Bitachon and Hishtadlus. But the heart speaks to you, and you know you have to know if you can answer the question. A lot of times Hishtadlus, too much Hishtadlus hides behind the word Hishtadlus, and inappropriate Bitachon is the cover-up for laziness, for atzlus. So, it's not easy, but that's the point. So the point is, when it comes to number three, that we learned last week, it's hard. It's hard to discern. Aso was a tremendous tzaddik. Got rid of all the little Zohra. But there was a difference between the first time he went to war and the second time he went to war. When you read Nach, it doesn't look like he did anything terrible. For us, that would be the most normal Hishtadlus in the world. He made a strategy. He had a tactic. But the Navi said, you know, the last time you just davened and you asked Hashem for Yeshua. Then you start looking and you say, well, why did you give away the otzros of the Beis HaMikdash? Surely you don't think that your Hishtatlus demanded that you do that. Why did you become allies with Aram, knowing that he'll always be your enemy, and by not having Bitachon and fighting him and destroying him now, so you're leaving him to come back and fight you another day? So now he's your friend, tomorrow he's going to be your enemy. And you just made him stronger, because, you know, maybe sending him arms, sending him money, so you're just building up your enemy. If it was really Bitachon, you would realize that this is inappropriate and wrong status. Again, a job, if it makes a person dysfunctional, for a woman, it's easy to say if it makes her dysfunctional in her primary role as a wife and a mother. For a man, it's harder because his primary responsibility is to learn and know Torah. But again, that's like Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir. It's hard to define dysfunctionality in terms of Talmud Torah. So that's harder, but it's the same idea. If you find it puts you in a workplace with nisyonos, maybe of tznius, maybe of nivopeh, a man or a woman I'm talking. You know, if you can look at yourself and say, you know, there's no hishtadlus is because Hashem wants me to do this. So sometimes you say, you really think Hashem wants me to do this? Sometimes you can answer it. So that's how you know. There is no litmus test. It's not easy to discern the difference between the doctor is a shliach, but I'm really being boteach Hashem, and of course I'm davening to Hashem, but just in case, I better get a good doctor. Just in case. Or I'll get a good doctor. And if that doesn't work, I'll daven to Hashem. Which is, again, this is all in the subconscious, the way the person's mind is working. And if you go for the best doctor, you really have to be prepared to answer, is it hishtadlus to go to the better doctor? Because if it's not, then you're violating number three. You're really saying that it's the doctor, not Hashem. That's odd. Asa had the first Muhammad, he passed. And the second Muhammad, he didn't do anything that we would consider bad or inappropriate, but the Navi came to him and slammed him because he pointed out a few things that were inconsistent with that all I'm doing is my status. Why did you give away so much money for? Why did you strengthen Aram, your enemy? Why this, why that? Because if you read the Nach, it's really in Divrei Hayom, it's in Ksuvim. The story is in Navi, but in Navi it's very short. It's Arichot. The story is elaborated upon in Divrei Hayom. And then it says Asa got sick, and then it says Vagam, the laws bring down. Vagam b'chol yol lo dorish as Hashem ki berofen. So the Vagam is a puzzling word, but if you read the whole story, Vagam means he acted just as he did in the Muhammad. Didn't do him any good. V'choli did not bring him to realize that he was doing something wrong. So Vagam b'chol yol lo dorish as Hashem ki berofen. So you say, what do you mean? You think he didn't daven? Believe me, he davened. He said, Ufa'enu. He said, Shamalos. He said, Kufyutes with his name in it. But he looked at the doctors not as a channel that Hashem is using, not as puppets in the hands of Hashem. He looked at them like he did in the Muhammad. He looked at his tactic as an independent force. You say the words, so everybody recoils and say, Chas v'shalom. But we have to ask ourselves how we live. Look at it as an independent force. Ki'ilu outside of Hashem. I'll say ki'ilu because no one would say the words outside of Hashem. That's ready for the Zara. But the Chayim Lavavit doesn't mince words. He calls it shituf. He says, you know, when you're not looking at it the right way, you're worshipping two gods. Just again, I think it. I'm having an issue with my son now, with Parnasa, and he's in a certain job. It's a wonderful job, it's very fulfilling. fulfilling of you. Nechemia, turn off the tape recorder. You're not going to listen to this. It's a wonderful job. It's every way it's fantastic, except one. It doesn't pay him. And I'm not saying it doesn't pay him enough, but it doesn't pay him, period. He hasn't gotten paid for 2 years. As you can expect, he works for Yeshiva. So now I'm pushing him to leave and take a different job. But he finds it very fulfilling. And he says to me, you know, because we learn together, we talk a lot about Bitachon. And he says, he's not going to have any more money no matter what job he takes. This is the way he's supposed to live. You know, so this is the way he's going to live with another job. What's the difference? This is the gezeira, this is what he's going to live. And I'm tiny, this is not called hishtadlus. If you're in a job that didn't pay you for 2 years, and there's no sikui, just promises, so that's already a dip below the bar of hishtadlus. I said you could wait a month, 2 months, 6 months. 2 years is already, I hold, below the bar. So really, it boils down to, is this normal hishtadlus? So he's tiny, a very wonderful boy, my son. He's saying he doesn't need a nace. He just needs one rich person, because it's like a kiruv yeshiva type. He needs one rich person to, like, find out about the yeshiva and become enamored with it. And they don't need, like, $10 million. They need. So that's not a nace, because that happens all the time, that a rich person takes an interest in something. So he says, if I don't need a nace, then I'm doing hishtadlus, because I don't need a nace. And I'm telling you, after 2 years, you need a nace. Of course, that. So we're arguing. So we're probably going to go to a gadol and ask the shayla. So he doesn't want to tell the whole story. He just wants to say, is this establish or not? He just wants to ask that sentence. And I want to tell the whole story. Because establish is subjective. So tune in. By next week, we should have an answer. He wants to stay, because he's tiny, he's not going to have any more money if he goes to a different job. And I'm tiny, he's not doing hishtadlus. That's really our argument, is that. And I'm not negayah, but don't worry, he doesn't take money from me, I have to say. It's not like I'm giving him a salary, I'm not. How's he living? He's living with a lot of chayvus, which I find is not fair. Because that means that the people... Well, he doesn't do his credit cards, you know. So they're paying a salary. And, okay, that's really. But these things, these are like happening, so it's on my mind. But this happens to everybody, every day. You have issues, you have questions. And this is what we're trying to achieve, a certain, at least, level of bitachon, where at least we take Hashem into account. But anyway, this is number three is very hard. Because Asa was a good person. he also davened, and he said the Yiratzon and Rufahein, there was something missing. The Navi saw that. The Navi came to him and said, you know, your actions are inconsistent with someone who's just doing hishtadlus, and mamish is there that it's just hishtadlus, and it's Hashem, and hishtadlus is just an obligation we have to do, which we're going to learn now. And it was inconsistent with that. If a person works in a workplace with sneas issues, is there any nibble pay issues, other issues, so then you have to be able to answer. If you look at hishtadlus in the right way, then you always have to be, you have to always answer the question, is this what Hashem wants me to be doing? I'm not talking about now below the bar of hishtadlus. I'm talking about now another issue. If, you know, like Asa, you know, does Hashem want me to do this? Does Hashem want me to give away the oitzus of the Beis HaMikdash as a strategy to win a war, to buy an ally? Does he want me to strengthen somebody that's for sure going to be an enemy in another 2-3 years? So like, what am I gaining from the strengthening? You have to catch yourself, you have to ask yourself these questions. You have to be able to say, no, this is still a normal thing to do, this is acceptable, this is accepted, this is the way one does hishtadlus, this is normal. So the Navi, you know, so it's not easy. And then the Navi, maybe it needed a Navi coming, speaking in the name of Hashem. So Asa threw him in jail. That's how subtle these things are. Because, believe me, Asa is known as a tzaddik. His reputation in Klal Yisrael is a good king, tzaddik. He did fantastic things. It was happening towards the end of his melucha. And And he threw the Navi in jail, which is already something to talk about, a person's capacity for self-justification. You know, because he was a Navi, and they knew he was a Navi. And he said something to Shem Hashem, and Asa threw him in jail. You know, he probably said, you know, it's a false Navuah, you know, I'm a true guy, hey, you know, I say it's Hashem, I say B'li Nether, I say it's Hashem, what do you want from me? It's tough, it is tough. Hadamah Ravi is number four. Again, I always say, if you develop bitachon, or even a degree of bitachon, your heart knows the answer. That's what I think. You'll be able, you know, you have to have the kayak of introspection. I saw somebody use the word self-introspection. I think that's redundant. It's redundant. Yeah, you have to have introspection, and you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be able to view yourself with a goofy's heart. Okay. But there's telltale signs. You're doing something that's, if you can't look in the mirror and say, Hashem wants me to do this, or you blush when you say that, then you know you're on the wrong path. If you can't say Hashem wants me to do this with like with clarity, with assuredness, say Hashem wants me to do this, I hope. Okay. Vagdomar Revius number four, I'll say it I'll pair very quickly. Number four seems to be at odds with a lot of things he said till now. Number four is, you want Hashem to be there for you, you have to be there for him. And you have to listen to Hashem, you have to do the roots of Hashem. You can't walk through the tomato patch and ruin the guy's tomatoes and then knock on the door and ask him for a loan. Yeah. And as I said, the Chagat Avos throughout the Sefer uses life examples of people, relationships with people, to talk about Hashem. It sounds almost sacrilegious sometimes, but he uses, because he, first of all, it's like a Kal Vachomer, but second of all, I think the idea is, like he says, by Hashem's love for us, that these things exist so that we should learn from them. In other words, Hashem makes people react a certain way so that we should say to ourselves, well then, Hashem's, you know, the same. So, you can't walk through Hashem's tomato. Hashem says, don't talk Lashon Hara. And then you talk Lashon Hara, and then you say, oh, I'm sure that Hashem's going to help me, and Hashem's going to be there for me. You can't do that. Now, first of all, this is the Machlokas. Machlokas Rishonim. This is the Chavis HaDovas Hashita. Other Rishonim hold that even the biggest Rasha can develop Bitachon and have Bitachon, and trust in Bitachon. I say, I have to give my opinion, it's a very theoretical machlokas, because to have Bitachon, you have to, let's even leave out number four. So you have to have developed number one, two, three, and five. And number one is the seven things about Hashem. It's kind of hard to believe the seven things about Hashem and still be a Russia. It's like, yeah, Hashem can do anything, and Hashem is all powerful, and Hashem knows what I'm thinking, and Hashem is what it is, and Hashem is almighty, and Hashem loves me, and Hashem this. They, like, so, it's like a theoretical machlokas, because you say, a Russia can have bitachon too, and like, rely on bitachon to whatever extent we rely on bitachon. But they say, but he's not a Russia, you know, if he's been through everything, then how is he a Russian? Anyway, but the main question is on the Chavos Halevot. So the Ramban and the Gra, they say in Russia, it's basically really, it's a Gemara almost. The Gemara says in Bais Rishon, they did Averis, and they were this, but they were Anshei Emuna. They had Emuna and Hashem, and the Tachon, and they're cited for good. Maybe there's a difference between if someone does something taiva or he does something lahachis. Maybe there's different types of rishoyim. But the main question of the Chayim Avod is that he keeps saying that Hashem does for you even if you don't deserve it. And this is one of the pillars of bitachon. He said it in Perek Aleph when he defined the bitachon, and it's certainly one of the seven things in Perek Beis, and he elaborated upon it in Perek Gimel, in the first of the five premises. Seven things, so he reiterated. So what's he turning around now? and pulling the rug out from under our feet. So I'm convinced that the Teretzes, I see people ask, I don't like any of the Teretzes. I'm convinced that the Teretzes, what Chofetz Chaim, if you want to bring us a lashon, Chofetz Chaim at one point talks about also that a person has to do his best. And we fail because we're human, and we fall, and we pick ourselves up, and we try again. And the ikir is what the Meraglims, what the Kollel said, Ach Hashem Al Tinro do. You don't rebel against Hashem. You fall short, and yeah, but the ikir is not to be a mori. And Chofetz Chaim says it by Lashon Hara, and he says, Lagabe the Kollel Yisrael's matzav. Lagabe Hashem. You know, you do what you try, and don't be a mori. Don't be a Mori. So that's what the Chazal says here. Here his point is don't be a Mori. You can't be a Mori. The sign says don't walk through the tomato patch. You can't walk through the tomato patch because I don't care what the sign says and then ask for a loan. You know, you can't do that. So you can't do that with Hashem either. You can't have stuff in Hashem. You can't rely on Hashem to do the things you want to happen and you're doing things you expect to happen. And you can't rely on that, which is what Bitochel means to rely on that. If you're going around and you're living your own life and you don't give a hoot about what Hashem says. When he said, even if you don't deserve it, he meant, no, even if we don't pass the test, because we fail. But if we fail because we're human and we're not strong enough yet, and we're working on it, and we're trying to become better, and we're trying to grow, and, you know, we're not perfect, we're far from perfect, and we're human, and Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. So that's what he was talking about in the previous prokim, in the previous paragraphs, where he said that it's a major pillar of Bitachon, because we're far from perfect, so if you can't have Bitachon unless you're perfect, we're not going to have Bitachon. So he says, no, a pillar of Bitachon is to rely on Hashem, that he does chesed. This is really nothing more. Really, if you go deeper into it, if you learn Chumash with Rashi, and you recall Rashi and Bereishis, he says Hashem wanted to create the world, so to speak, wanted to create the world of Midas Hadin, and he saw it wouldn't survive, so he did Midas Harachanim also. He was Meshateis Midas Harachanim with Midas Hadin. So that's all, it's a deep idea, but that's what Chavis HaLomis is saying, when he says, that Hashem gives us even if we don't deserve it. I don't think it's anything more radical than a restatement of that Rashi, that that's how the whole world survives, because it's Midos HaRachman in addition to Midos HaDin. When he says here that you have to, if Hashem has to be able to rely on you, if you want to rely on Hashem, he's talking about Ach Hashem Al Timrotu. Don't rebel, meaning do your best. And you have to be sincere about doing your best. But this is also a pillar of bitachon. You can't expect to slap Hashem in the face and then turn around and say, but I'm trusting you. And it's interesting how other Rishonim are cholek, and they all, but again, it has to be sincere. And it's hard for me to conceive that it's sincere and you're going to be a Rosha. Because if you think of Hashem a certain way, and you know, all the seven things, like, you're a Rosha, way out of your mind. Like, how does that happen? Elamai, you're human and you're failing. So I don't know if he's talking about that here. He's talking about here, merido, as he uses the word. That's what I think. That's the word that explains the answer to this apparent contradiction. You have to be careful. You have to work hard and he uses the word shtadlus, but there's no bitachon when it comes to ruchnius, right? That's an area that Hashem left up to us, as he will explain at length in Perek Dalet. And in Bechira, there's no bitachon. You have to work. That's your area. That's where Hashem. So does. What?
In Bechira, there's no bitachon, or in
ruchnius? I'm not sure what the difference is.
Oh.
In ruchnius slash Bechira.
Oh. Well, that's the only place.
There is, well, in Ruchnius meaning, when you're making choices, when you want to accomplish things. I want to accomplish things in Ruchnius, so there's no, I can't say, I want to get up for davening tomorrow. I might just want to, I'm not setting my alarm, I have bitachon. Now, it could be even in regular things, that's not Hishtadlus if you don't put it on your alarm clock. But let's assume it's enough Hishtadlus if you're not putting on your alarm clock, because you wake up the same time every morning. But you really want to go to davening tomorrow, so you have no right to rely on Hashem that you're going to get up. Learn that in Perek Daven. In Ruchnius and Bechira, you have to take the bull by the horns, and you have to make believe, so to speak, with Hashem. It's up to me. It's anyway up to Hashem if you'll be successful. Right? But your choice and your decision is completely yours. That happens to be a very difficult thing philosophically, but since I don't want to get a headache, so we won't discuss it. But here he's saying, so you have to do your utmost and strive to do what Hashem demands of you. The Zorma Sherezeri man, not to violate any law, and Fimashahu Mufakesh. Very simple, tit for tat, that's how Hashem works. Don't like it? Complain to the Chazal of us. You want Hashem to be there for you, you have to be there for Him, so to speak. The irony, of course, is that we're not there for Hashem in the normal sense of the word, because Hashem doesn't need us, He doesn't need our mitzvahs, He doesn't need anything. The whole ball of wax is for our own benefit. That's like the ultimate irony of life. Is that everything that's demanded of us is for our own benefit. It's part of Hashem's chesed with us, is that He demands and He'll punish us and He'll reward us if we do our own good things that are for our own benefit. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zechonu Livracha, say, and this is in Pirkei Avos, I say, Ritzono Kiritzoncha, make His will your will, Kadeshi Yasser Ritzoncha Kiritzono. You want it. Your will should be His will, so you have to make His will your will. So yes, because I have this wonderful sefer, and I spoke about it in shul a few years ago, that explains every pasuk in Echa. That it means good things. And he explains each pasuk from the lens of Mashiach being here. It's a beautiful sefer, a rare sefer. So we will be reading Echa, this Tisha B'Av, no matter what.
You read from it, like you read the pasuk.
That I don't know. You know, when Mashiach comes.
No, and this sefer. Readings. Do you say what each one means, like you said from the book? You read out of the book?
No, we read Echa like we go to Sester in the Rus. We read it at night, Tisha B'Av at night. You read the Elot. Echa. I'm just saying, I said we'll read Echa this Tisha B'Av. I don't want people attacking me. Mashiach's coming. So I said, we'll read Echa anyway, probably. And I have a sefer that explains each pasuk from the lens of Mashiach. It's a very inspiring sefer. He explains how each pasuk is a bracha.
What's the name of the
sefer? I don't know. It's hard to find. It's not. I mean, I can tell you if you email me, I'll remember, I'll look up and say, but I don't think it's my man's store. Maybe it is, I don't really know. I'll tell you the name of Sefer, I'm not hiding it from you. So that's the key word, that's what I feel is the key word that explains the seeming contradiction of Chayat HaLos. Someone who has the Tavon in Hashem but rebels against Him, Kamu Husachal, a fool, Gamadat Chalusha Bakaraso, Ki Roe. Look how it is by people. Again, this is maybe jarring to our ears, but it's a methodology that the Chabad Chabad uses throughout the Sefer. Look at human relationships, and that's how it is with Hashem also. Someone who's in charge of something. Someone who's giving out food, someone who's leading you in a certain way. And he says, just make sure to do this, you know, stand in line, you know, bring me, fill out the form, you know, and you go there and you say, okay, where's my vegetables, where's your form? I didn't fill out the form, stupid form, I fill out the form. He's going to send you away. He's going to say, listen, you can't do the basic minimum what I want of you, so then you want me to turn around. And so he says, be Avraham Mitzvoso, be Yagiel, the Avraham Mitzvoso, ki yasiba chazoka, limono mimenu, that's how it is by people, that's how it is by Hashem. That's the reason that Hashem will not be there for you if you refuse to do what He wants of you. Your bitachon will be nitzava, will fall by the wayside, you'll be disillusioned. It won't happen. Kishayam Rehu, if you rebel against Hashem. Of course, you can't expect that. It's a two-way street. Lohir royally kore b'shem boteach belokim. Kahu kamosham rakosu, kimatik l'schonu ki yitzak yishaluk anachu. So he's not really a boteach b'Hashem. But the reason is because he's mamre es pi Hashem. Again, other Rishon Acholik, but it's hard to imagine the guy that is holding by Bitachon and all of the things that it entails and is still maintains his rishus. It's hard to imagine such a person.
That's my friend.
Yeah.
A person who is Boteach Hashem and does all the right things and daven and kavanah and everything, he, say, goes looking around for the best doctor or doing these things. Why is that considered?
Why don't we wait for the next thing? No, who said that's Merida? He's talking about now Mitzvahs and Averis. He's not talking about Yishtazlus and Bitachon. He's talking about Merida against Hashem by not doing Mitzvahs and by doing Averis. That's what he's talking about. Violating Hashem's will and what he told us to do and what he warned us not to do. How to balance Bitachon and Yishtazlus will be number 5. And how much of an aveira is it? Yeah. How much of an aveira is it if you don't have bitachon? That's hard to say. They say there's no shiur of bitachon. Not like I know how to eat it because I have some matzah. And anyway, it's very hard to really truly have full bitachon. It's an ongoing process. It's a lifetime of work. So, you know, as long as we're working on it and, you know, trying our best at thinking about the things Chavetz Chaim says to think about. Chavetz Chaim is the workbook. You know, it's like, I don't know, we thought when it's too hard. Did you ever do what Chavetz Chaim says to do? No.
Yeah, but all of the dialogue will tell you, I mean, not actually, can't say all, I mean, but people who go to ask for an aid or what to do with, say, a medical situation, they'll recommend the best
once again, let's wait till we learn number 5.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Number 5, that's a question of what is Ishtablus. And yes, it might be a good question with no answer. Why is that Ishtablus? Sometimes the best doctor, as I said, I had this mechanic, you know, he went to him and no one was diagnosing the problem properly. So you need the best doctor with the most experience to be able to diagnose properly. So then it would be within the bar of the status. But I don't, you know, if you need a hernia operation, the truth is you don't need the best doctor. You don't need the best doctor. Right? L'chora, if someone will explain to me why Kishtadlos requires the best doctor to have a hernia operation, okay, I'll listen. I'm willing to listen and be convinced. Maybe, I tell you, like Jackie Mason has a joke. You go to a doctor for a stomach problem, and he has his diploma on the wall. You don't know that he failed stomach. You know? he passed because he knew about the blood flow. But he found stomach, and you're wanting him for a stomach problem.
The rabbi says, I don't want to see his diploma, I want to see his report card.
So that's his joke. So maybe that's the reason people want the best doctor, because not the best doctor, so you don't know that he's good at hernias. Maybe he failed hernia. Okay, maybe. The point is to be sincere. And yeah, you do have to answer the question, why do I need the best doctor? And you have to have an answer to that. And I don't care who the person giving the answer is, it's a perfectly valid question. Do I need the best doctor? Why do I need the best doctor? Okay. If the answer is because you're going to be nervous if you don't have the best doctor, so okay, that's a good answer. It means you're not holding, you know, okay, but we're all lacking bitachon. You know, when my daughter needed a shidduch, I was nervous. This is an ongoing process. This is something we work on our whole lives. It's very hard to be perfect just because you go to these wonderful shiurim. So if that's the answer, if the answer is you need the best doctor so that you shouldn't be stressed, okay, you know, that's an answer. It's not good. It's an accommodation to someone. But who amongst us can say we have we're working on it. But as long as we know that that's an answer, that's a problem, and you have to have an answer. If the answer is because sometimes this is, you know, someone has, let's say, Chas v'Shalom, and you know, they have different medicines that they mix, different cocktails that they give to inject into the body. You know, so you want the best doctor because it's a very fine thing, and you know, you're playing with chemo. You know, you're playing with killing good cells and killing bad cells, and how much side effects, and how this and how that. So you want someone that's like a goggle in it. That's perfectly reasonable. But that can be explained to you if you're asking the question, why do I need the best doctor for? If you have an ingrown toenail, if you need the best doctor, maybe any competent podiatrist will be able to help you. You don't need the best one. If you do want the best one, so you should. Person in working on, as part of working on Bidachon, should ask themselves, why? Why do I want the best one? And then, what's the answer? The answer is, because I'm nervous, okay? Okay? So good. That's an answer. Okay. There's no point in being nervous. I tell people, wherever we go to Hebron, whatever it is, is it dangerous? Am I lacking Bidachon if I'm nervous? Say, there's no mitzvah to go and be nervous. That's not, probably also to go. You're going to be nervous the whole Shabbos. So you're not letting go. You're not letting be nervous the whole Shabbos. So don't go. But that, if you're nervous, you're nervous. It's not a head there, but it's, again, who has to be tough on? Everybody is nervous and stressed and worried. We work on it. That's what we're trying to do. That's the purpose of being sure, to try to work on it and become better. Anyway, this is number four. Number four is, but it's a principle that the Chavis Lubavitcher says. The principle is, if you want Hashem to be there for you, you have to be there for Him. And based on what he kept insisting, that a pillar of Bitachon is that Hashem will do for you even if you don't deserve it. The difference is that it's just really, an expression of Midas Arachamim, coupled with Midas Adin, which is no more of a Kiddush than Rashi says in the very beginning of Chumash. And here he uses the word Mamre twice. Mamre means to rebel, so that you can't do it. You can't go against Hashem's wishes. Amazing attention. So there's all these gray areas. If let's say I give it to my typhus. So that's intentional, but it's not. And I call rebelling against Hashem. I don't know the answer. There is a concept in halacha, there is mumur l'tayot, and a mumur l'achis, the people that do things because they can't control themselves, so to speak. They don't control themselves, and there's people that do l'achis, which don't care. So you'll say, but every mumur l'tayot, and they are halachically different, and these major differences in how we look at them and how we treat them. But you say, every mumur l'tayot, but I mean, he's amazed, he's aware that he's not listening to Hashem. He's aware of it. So, I can't help myself. So, he's not rebelling against Hashem. Halachically, there's a difference between him and the one that's rebelling against Hashem. On the other hand, he knows he's not supposed to do what he's doing, so there is an element of rebellion there. These are issues when I'm discussing that, but they're difficult. And what about if a person's lazy? He's not a mumul teyavon, and he's not a mumul hachis, but he's lazy. This is usually true by mitzvah saseis. A person's lazy. They're lazy to work on their mitos. They don't want to work, so they're lazy. Is that called rebelling, or is that called not rebelling, but I'm imperfect? I'm lazy. I don't know the answer. These are difficult things, but the principle is important. And maybe every once in a while we can think about that. And the Chagavavas holds and says that if you're not there for Hashem, he won't be there for you. You can't have me talking. Like the rich guy that you want something from, and he says, okay, come between 2 and 4, and don't ring the doorbell before 2, because my baby's asleep. And you come 1:30 and you read the book. And he's like, can you lend me $100,000? He'll throw you out. Right? He'll throw you out. Hashem does the same thing. That's what the Lord says. He says, what are you kidding me? Are you kidding? So when does Hashem say that? Of course, as I say, we're Hashem does even if you don't deserve it. So at the end of the extreme is Mamish Amum Alahachis. What about lazy? What about, I don't want to be bothered? I don't know. These are difficult questions. I don't know if there are answers. I said women have the answer. And everybody's different also. One man's laziness is another person's rebellion. Hashem knows where we're holding. Hashem knows what our potential is. Hashem knows what we can do, what we can't do. There's what the Michtav Eliyahu you may be familiar with called Nekudas HaBechira, right? So every person is different also. To this person, you know, if they cut down on their Lashon Hara, if they take on that hour, I don't know if they still have that, Machsam Lafi, if they take on that hour, that's wonderful. Another person takes on that hour, and Hashem says, what are you kidding? You shouldn't talk Lashon Hara all day. The tough questions. Okay, let's start here. What's it?